I hope you already have your Bibles open to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter number 2. I'll begin reading with verse 1 and read through verse 3. Hebrews 2, 1 through 3. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, then every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the privilege and the joy and the excitement of being in thy house of worship and experience. We know that we're here from many backgrounds and we have many needs. And we're confident this morning, dear Father, that you will come and do business in the depths of our being. Oh Lord, we pray once again that you will speak, and let me get out of the word's way so that thy message and thy word alone might not only be heard, but dear Father, may it be received and understood and incorporated into our daily living. We lean upon thee, and we make this petition in the strong, holy name of Jesus the Christ. Amen. Recently I read where an 18-year-old boy was suing the school in New York State, which he just graduated from, for $5 million. He said, "I am a graduate of this school. I've been all the way through the school system. And I never learned how to read or to write." Now, I do not know the outcome of this case in the courts, but I think it's rather clear. It seems to me that the responsibility of the schools, they are to teach. And the responsibility of the pupils, they are to learn. And a school can never make a pupil learn. It seems to be an obvious decision. But as I was thinking about it, I began to imagine if perchance some lawyers ended up in hell. And I guess if just one happened to end up in hell, he would probably bring suit on the church and say, "Why didn't you save me?" But you see, the responsibility of the church is to preach the gospel, to introduce people to Jesus Christ. It's our responsibility to respond, yea or nay. So we know in our society it is possible to escape the great salvation that's offered by God in Jesus Christ. That's the question in our scripture. How can we escape this great salvation? Now, we have no problem answering that question, do we? We live in an escapist society. We are experts in our modern world at escaping. Read magazines, read your newspaper, the travel edition. It says, escape, get away from it all. Take a cruise, get on a plane. And they always have some bathing beauty there on water skis. Or they have somebody else on snow skis in the Rockies. Escape. And certainly many of us escape into recreation. We escape into our hobbies. And we see these temptations constantly before us. Go take a trip. Now for some, take a trip doesn't mean getting high up in the Rockies. It means to take a trip on drugs, to just bomb your mind out on all sorts of drugs so that you can get in some sort of synthetic euphoria and get away from everything. So we escape into many directions. And the question, how can we escape? We can answer it with many, many means available to modern affluent men and women like we represent here this morning. And so you don't have to be Phi Beta Kappa to name some of these escape mechanisms for you and for me. They're obvious to us, but I want to run over some that are very common to all of us. How do we get away? How do we escape? How do we neglect things? How do we substitute synthetic things for real things? Because the choice before every one of us is basically the same. We can choose God, truth, reality, Jesus Christ, or we can choose to escape. In 1 John 1:8, we can read a passage which Philip says goes something like this. If you say you are without sin, you are confusing and fooling yourself, and Philip says you are a stranger to truth. That's a catchy phrase, isn't it? A stranger to truth. And many people, even in this sanctuary on this July morning, are living lives of escape rather than facing the stark reality of what we're like inside, what we're like outside, and the historical issues of our day. I guess the commonest means of escape is into a fantasy world, isn't it? The world of dreams, the world of imagination. A lot of us do that. We dream the impossible dream. By the way, I love that song. To dream the impossible dream, to fight the unbeatable foe, to bear the unbearable sorrow, to run where what brave dare not go, to right the unrightable wrong, to love pure and chaste from afar, to try when your arms are too weary to reach the unreachable star. I like that song. Dulcinea and all of them put in together. To dream. Certainly we need to dream. Where there are no dreams, where there are no vision in business or in churches or in organizations or in families, the people perish. We need to dream. We need to have visions. We need to use our creativity. But just to live in a fantasy world like a lot of people do. I think all the soap operas sort of feed this in so many of us. And for the first time, I finally got around to seeing Dallas the other night on television. My goodness. I'm telling you the truth. I counted. They had 4 bedroom scenes. An hour. Is it an hour in length? Everybody's nodding yes. I am. And in those 4 scenes, only one depicted a husband with his wife, and they were fighting. That's right. You see, the problem with all of this, we live in an escapist world, and the afternoon and the evening and the television, we can just put ourselves vicariously in these imaginary situations. You know, the problem with that is it drains of our energy. We spend so much of our emotion, so much of our being, so much of our strength is dissipated out in a world of illusion, a world of fantasy, a world that's absolutely not real. It's a method of escaping, of getting away. I know a lady quite well because I walked around in her life for over 2 years When someone lets you walk inside their life, that's holy ground, ladies and gentlemen. That's sacred places. This lady finally left her husband and left her family. They'd been married 25, 26 years. And she said, all I want to do is get in a room and someone will lock the door and just push books under the door and let me read and let me read. All the time she was escaping. That became a phobia with her, a passion with her. That became her unreal world, became reality for her. So certainly we can go off into illusion, into a dream world, into a synthetic world, into an unreal world, and we can just take our minds and go anywhere and spend too much time. Sometimes it's in the past. Past sins are past successes. It doesn't make any difference. We dwell on them. We have the capacity to replay them instantly in our minds. Failures are success. Sin or whatever, and we go over and over it, and it gets grooved in our mind. Paul saw this tendency there, and writing to the Philippians, he said, forgetting those things which are behind, always living in the past, the good old days, the bright and glorious days, how fine things used to be. Fantasy. Other people spend all their time living in the future. Some bright tomorrow, some beautiful promise there someday. Oh, how wonderful it's going to be. Always in the future, never right now. A lot of marriages are like that. You never accept your mate for what he or she is right now and love them with all of their phobias and all their faults and give your life to them right now. Always it's tomorrow or some dream world that you fantasized about. So many of us escape into a very unreal fantasy world, dream world, another dimension. It's a way of escaping. And certainly another way of escape would be into illness. Let me preface what I'm going to say by simply stating that much of our sickness and many illnesses are not in this area. Their germs are real. Disease is real. Physiological problems inexplicably come upon us. They are real. I'm not talking about this. But I am talking about a lot of sickness that comes on you and me that's actually not real. More of it than we can imagine. More of it, I think, than most of us dream about. How many people have I talked to following surgery or following some physical problem, and in the process of conversation, they began to share with me saying, you know, if I had faced that sin, if I had dealt with that situation, if I had made that decision, if I had not done that, if I had gotten that straightened out in my life, I wouldn't be here in this hospital today. How many times I've heard that? Dr. E. Stanley Jones says, listen to this quotation, no Christian ought to be any sicker than he really is. We can escape into illness, and we do it. You say, well, I don't do that. Yes, you do. We learn how to do it as children. Have you noticed how we used to get sick so often with nausea and headaches and even fever? Before the big test, check the absentee records of any of our schools. When do all the absentees come? Final exams. An epidemic of flu. Yeah. So many times we're like that. We don't want to face a situation which we might fail. Therefore, we get sick. And it's real. It's not false, but we get sick. But it's precipitated by something other than normal physiological things. You can escape all of your life from decision, from responsibility, from pressure, from advancement, and you can plead because I'm sick. And it can get to be a lifestyle of illness and maladies. I'm sick. And certainly related to this would be the area of medicine. Let me say in the beginning, I think that one of God's great gifts to us is medicine. When to thank Him for a tranquilizer or a sleeping pill or that medication at that strategic time in your life or in my life that made a difference. We thank Him for the fact that surgery is performed today with an anesthetic when years ago this was not true. And we think of the pain and the lifestyle in, and we thank God that in hours of needs now we have these modern means chemistry has given to us, and we're grateful for it. But we can escape into the drugged thing. How easy it is for Christian people to escape. We can take something to pep us up. We can take something, a depressant, an alcohol, to slow us down. Or we can be very pious, like a preacher friend of mine who drinks 10 or 12 cups of coffee every day. He says, I have to have it to keep going. You see, it doesn't make any difference what we escape into. Different things can become your bar. Your books, your television, your hobby, your recreation, alcohol, coffee. Several years back, I started drinking a lot of Coca-Colas. I didn't, you know. And all of a sudden, I'd get, I'm ready for a Coke. Same thing. Doesn't matter so much what it is. We escape. We have artificial things that stimulate us, that keep us going. How can we escape? We can name how we escape. Into a dream world, a world of illness, a world of salvation by medication. You rub it on, you spray it on, you're a new person. Paul Tournay, the great Swiss Christian psychiatrist, says that man is such a religious person that unless they find the true religion of God in Jesus Christ, they will go to any extent to find some other substitute. And Dr. Tournay talks about modern man who looks at the church as some archaic kind of barnacle that hangs around, that's outmoded, that's outdated, that's unscientific, and rejects the salvation offered by Jesus Christ. And Dr. Tournay, instead, they take salvation by appeal because it came through the scientific method. Escapes. We can escape even in our work. There's a book out called The Workaholic, about someone who drives themselves to perfection. They drive themselves to achieve. They just work, work, work. And this is a way of escaping. Responsibility for family. Responsibility for God. I'm too busy. I'm gone. I'm driving myself. A workaholic. A very serious malady in our day and age. It can be this way in school. Some study to get good grades, and that's fine, to make a better contribution in the world, that is excellent. But some study and drive themselves to make good grades, to be superior in school, as a method of escaping into a world in which everything is intellectualized and there's no reality, where people live and move and push and breathe, where they're suffering and problems, you just sort of float out to some ivory tower over there. I know people who've gone to school all their lives. They're just always getting degrees, and they're making a whole lifestyle of getting degrees. I know someone who has earned 5 PhD degrees, and they're working on their 6th one. Brilliant! Always wanting to learn more and more and more, but never taking the accumulated knowledge or the genius and applying it in a practical area where there's so much need. And therefore, there's this escape into a disciplined kind of lifestyle. Ah, but I've saved the last form of escape, which is the most disastrous form, and the form that very few of you would guess if I spent time for you to guess about it. The last form of escape, and I think the most disastrous form, is religion. I can see somebody in the back husband punching the wife, he woke up and said, "What did he say?" Religion. That's right. We can escape into the church. I know a man who goes to every Bible study in this city. I mean, if there's a Bible study, if there's a church service going on, he'll be there. He is founded in the Scripture. He knows chapters and verses. He knows the Bible, as we used to say on the farm, from kiver to kiver. He is a very scholarly man, a very godly man, a pious man, a reverent man, a man we look at in awe and say, "Oh, I wish I had the Bible knowledge that he does, but I know something about his home." His wife is hungry for love, for communication, for encouragement. His children need a daddy, but he's always at church somewhere. His wife's not too impressed with his halo, because she doesn't see this Christianity in action there in their family circle. You see, we can just get in church and go to church and stay inside these four walls. And I hear people say all the time, "I go to church because it makes me feel good." We go to church and we call people from the world into the church, but that is just the beginning. Then we have to go out from these four walls back into the world with a new thrust, with a new joy, with a new master, because we have found the cause of all of our escaping. We discovered that God in Jesus Christ loves us and can take our fragmented, escapistic style of living and put us back together again. And we go out and they see it in our faces, they hear it in our words and our walk and our step, because we're alive. How can we escape so great a salvation? It's easy. Activities, recreation, business, hobbies, whatever, we know how to escape, don't we? And our escapistic places can be bars, it can be athletic events, it can be hobbies, it can be books, it can be our vocations, it can be the church. But I'll tell you something, ladies and gentlemen, there will come a day, mark it down, I'm more confident of this than anything in this world, there will come a day, the Bible calls it the day of the Lord, judgment day. Count on it, bank it, book it, judgment day will come, and in that day, all of your escape routes, all of my escape routes, they will be closed. It frightens me sometimes to think about that. Every idle word will be called into account. Every hidden deed will be dealt with. The day of the Lord, no escape. No escape. And we'll say, "I want to turn on this television just for a moment." No television. I'm going to escape back into my fantasy world of imagination and just think for a minute on the day of the Lord. We can't do it, because our mind has never been clearer than on that day. "Well, I'm going to reach over here and take a little pill. It always just relaxes me and makes me feel so good." No pills. "I'm going to reach over there and get a bottle of Kentucky bourbon, 90 proof. Boy, it's good. Made in the wood." Is that how you say it? It's not there. Just you and God. Just God and me. The day of the Lord. A daddy took his boy into the toy shop. The boy got away from his dad and wandered around. Got on the sporting goods section, and there was this balloon-like statue of a man made out of balloon. The big feet weighted down. Little boy looked around at that statue of a man, the balloon. He just turned around, drew back, and hit that balloon. Boom! That balloon man went down, only popped right back up. Little boy was amazed. He backed off again, drew back, and hit the balloon man again. Pow! Down he went. He just popped right back up. His dad was watching the action over around the corner of the counter. He went up to him. He said, Joey, why do you think that man gets right back up when you knock him down every time? The guy looked at that guy and thought about it. He said, I don't know, except I reckon he's standing up on the inside. Are you standing up on the inside this morning? Or are you living such a life of escape? Even escape from God and reality in Jesus Christ? If so, come on into the real world. The world of value and truth and light and joy. The world that Jesus Christ offers. Stop running. With Him inside your life, I'm going to tell you something. This old world can kick you around, neglect you, hit you a time or two, knock you down, count you out. Doesn't matter. Because with Him inside your life, you'll always be standing up on the inside. Dear Father, forgive us. Forgive us when we run from You. We run into this hobby. We run into this vocation. We run in this way and that way and the other. And oh Lord, thank You for slowing us down in this service this morning in order to deal with us. That man, that woman, that student, that young person, that single today who need so desperately to say, I surrender. I've tried to escape the offer of God, the salvation of God in Jesus Christ. I've been here and there and I've come to the end. This morning I want to ask Jesus Christ to come into my life. I'm tired of being a phony. I'm tired of being plastic. I want to be real. I want to be alive. I want to count for God and for good. And I ask Jesus to come into my life by faith, unashamedly. Others, Father, need a church where they can worship and serve. And they feel at home in this body of Christ, these sinners that gather here every Sunday, saved by grace. And they need to come by letter, by statement, saying, I want to be a part. Count on me. Write from my letter. I come by statement. I want to put my roots down. Others need to simply rededicate their life to the Lord. They've been running away from the salvation they have known, from the Jesus Christ they have loved, from the peace that they once cherished. And now, Father, they need to come back home to You. Simply and humbly as You call, as You touch. The many ways that we receive those, O Lord, lead those by Thy Spirit to come publicly down these aisles, professing their faith by letter, by statement, recommitment of life, a vocational decision, This is your sacred holy time. Use it, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.